You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello, everybody. I'm Anthony Kasserman. Thanks for tuning in. We are talking Twins with Rhett Bollinger, and the season is just about upon us, Rhett. Spring training winding down. The Twins basically have their roster set at this point. And the biggest source of intrigue, of course, was that fifth starter job, Tyler Duffy versus Ricky Nolasco. The veteran Nolasco wins out. What went into that decision?
Well, it's definitely very interesting. I mean, Duffy came into camp with a really good shot to make it. At one point, you know, early on, Paul Molitor said Duffy was going to be pretty much penciled in the rotation, and it would basically take something fairly significant for him not to be in the rotation. But that kind of happened. Duffy had a 7.3 ERA, didn't look very good, and kind of in Nolasco wasn't too great. I think his ERA was around 4.3. He pitched against a lot of minor league teams, truthfully, Nolasco did. But more than anything, I think Duffy kind of just pitched his way out of the rotation with the way he pitched this spring. To his credit, he's working on a changeup, and I think that probably hurt his numbers a little bit. But, yeah, he kind of had that spot almost locked down coming in, but he didn't pitch well enough to keep it. And, you know, the business side of it always comes into too as well. I mean, Nolasco still owed $25 million over the next 2 years. He definitely sounded like he did not want to pitch in the bullpen at all. So for now, it's going to give the Twins a chance to have Nolasco out there. Maybe he bounces back. Maybe if he does, maybe the Twins can trade him if he actually builds some value up. Or if he were to struggle again, they could easily swap him out for Duffy. So I think from a business sense, it makes sense. This is the guy that's getting paid $25 million. And at the same time, too, Duffy does need to work on that changeup. Last year, as we know, he was great down the stretch. You know, probably their best pitcher down the stretch other than Irvin Santana. But he kind of did it with just a fastball-curveball mix. I think the Twins and him both realized that kind of going forward, he probably has to have a third pitch. So I think he'll have time to work on that AAA.
Yeah, it had to be an emotional roller coaster for Duffy because you're right. He was so good for them down the stretch. And then, you know, some uncertainty about his role going into camp. And Molitor says those things publicly and you're feeling good about it. And then and I'm sure those things were said so that he could just relax and work on things. But obviously working on things did not yield very positive results. So Ricky Nolasco extends that leash a little bit. We'll see what he delivers in that fifth starter job. And you mentioned Irvin Santana pitching so well for them down the stretch. He is the number one starter. What are the expectations for him now, his first full season as a Minnesota Twin?
Well, yeah, it's a big thing. Last year, as we know, he had the suspension, missed half the season for steroid use. And this season, he's looked really good in spring. I mean, the biggest thing, too, I've seen from him this spring is his velocity is really up. I mean, I've seen him touch as high as 97 miles per hour in spring. You never really trust the radar guns too much down here, but I mean, he's been consistently throwing 94, 95 in his starts, and the sliders look really good. He's been really, really good this spring, which is a good sign. I wonder if it's just maybe he's just a little bit fresh, having pitched only maybe half the innings he's used to last season. And down the stretch, like I mentioned, he was lights out those last, I believe, seven or eight starts. He won at least seven innings in all of those. Was incredible during that run. I think that's kind of the reason why he is this year's opening day starter was because he pitched so good late last year. And the fact that he's a veteran, he's an 11-year veteran. He's a guy that is kind of leaning on to kind of lead the staff. So I expect a big year out of him. Last year, I think he had a 4 ERA exactly. But there's a lot of inconsistency. And I believe that was mostly because coming off the suspension, it was kind of a weird thing. He didn't really have a spring training in a sense. He did get to pitch in the minor leagues a little bit leading up to it. But it still had to be kind of weird to start your season in early July rather than obviously in early April. So I think with a full season, he'll definitely have a good season. I think it's going to be a key for the Twins as their number one starter.
Yeah, and maybe it'd be the unintended benefit of that mess a year ago is he's got a fresher arm than he would have had otherwise. But obviously the Twins counting on big things to remember with Santana. And Rhett, we also know what the top of the order is going to look like now. Brian Dozier, Joe Mauer, Miguel Sano, and Trevor Plouffe in that order. What are your thoughts on that concoction?
It makes sense. I mean, Dozier is kind of a, you know, maybe not the prototypical leadoff hitter just because he has so much power. But he's always hit well in that spot. He can draw some walks, get on base. I think the thing this year, he obviously like to get his average up a little bit higher, which obviously would make his on-base percentage higher as well. He's used the right field a little bit more this year because he's such a cool, happy hitter. And Mauer, with his on-base percentage, as much as he's kind of struggled the last few years compared to what we're used to seeing from Mauer, he still gets on base at a pretty good clip. So hitting him up at the top of the lineup, really even first might even be something that could work out. But I think the Twins are kind of hesitant to do that because he's not a very, he's a good base runner, but he's not obviously a fast guy, and he's in his 30s now. And I think it makes sense to have, at third to, basically give him as many at-bats as he possibly can because he's by far their best hitter. So And after that, you know, Plouffe's going to bat fourth, so that could obviously change if Byung-ho Park ends up developing the way they hope he does. And today, the lineup here against the Red Sox is pretty much an opening day lineup where it will be Plouffe batting fourth, and then right after that, it'll be Rosario, and then Park kind of break up the two right-handers, and then Escobar, and then Suzuki, and then they're going to bat Byron Buxton ninth. I think the hope is that Byron Buxton kind of breaks out, has a good April, and they can put him atop the lineup and make him the leadoff hitter going forward. But opening day, I do expect to have Dozier ahead of Mauer and then Sano and Plouffe.
You mentioned Park, of course. He's a major storyline this spring. And got a few days left in spring training camp, but I think we can go out on a limb and assess things in totality. I don't think that's unfair. Is the basic line on Park that a pretty seamless adjustment, no? Both to the team and to the games. We know the games don't have meaning ultimately, but it's certainly nice to see him transition as well as he has.
Yeah, exactly. He really has played well. I think the biggest question mark was going to be how he fared against higher velocity. And he's been fine against that. You know, he faced Nathan Eovaldi the other day against the Yankees, and obviously he's one of the harder throwing starters in the game. And he went 1-for-3 with an RBI single. Didn't look like he was getting cheated too bad. You know, he's kind of a little bit of a guess hitter sometimes, but a lot of power hitters do that. But he really has legit power. Amazing how high he hits the ball up in the air, too, which is kind of funny to watch. But, yeah, it's been a really positive sign because the Twins were kind of worried early on maybe he struggled because even his first game against the Red Sox, he struck out 3 times. It was like, uh-oh, this guy might need a little bit of time to kind of get adjusted to playing baseball here in the States against better pitching. But sure enough, ever since that game, he's looked really good and probably been their most consistent hitter this spring. I mean, even at first base, defensively, he's been fine. So he can kind of back up Mauer here and there. So it's definitely a good development. And like I said, in the clubhouse, the players love him. He's just a funny guy. His English is getting better. His personality definitely meshes with the rest of the guys a lot. We've talked about it before, his, you know, watching The Bachelor with the Twins, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, he's been a big addition for this team. I mean, I got to figure that if he can kind of continue that going forward from spring, he could have definitely a breakout season.
And Sano in right field, I mean, kind of as we might have suspected going into camp, it's going to be a continued work in progress as the season starts, no?
Yeah, exactly. The big thing right now, though, with Sano has kind of been the talk around camp and the Star Tribune story, just about how the Twins were kind of hoping that he took it a little bit more seriously in the off season in terms of getting ready to be a right fielder, just because they're hoping that maybe he'd drop a little bit of weight during the off season. At some point, they're hoping even maybe 10 pounds, 15 pounds, just to be lighter on his feet for the outfield. But he decided really not to. So he's pretty much, if anything, he's actually maybe even gained a little bit of weight since last year, despite being in right field. Maybe that will change during the season as he runs around a little bit more. But, yeah, it's going to be a work in progress. He's made some decent plays out there so far, but he's also had a couple plays that most right fielders would make. But you're going to kind of expect that as he goes forward. I think the biggest key for him is just going to be to stay healthy. Because I think no matter what, he's going to produce offensively. He's got such a great approach at the plate and so much power. He rarely gets cheated. He obviously strikes out a decent amount. But I think he's a budding superstar offensively. But he's got to understand, too, that defensively in right field is an important thing for him, and staying healthy is going to be important for him too. I think there's some people that are a little worried that he didn't take it quite serious enough during the off season, but during spring though, I watched him in the spring and he's definitely taking it seriously down here. I think they were just a little bit disappointed the way it went leading up to it. So we'll kind of see how it goes during the season, but more than anything, it's just going to be about keeping him healthy at a new position, running around and all that kind of stuff.
All right, Rhett, with opening day just about upon us, we're rounding up some bold predictions. I know you've got two related to the Twins. Give me your first bold prediction.
Well, my first bold prediction, I don't know if it's too bold, but I do think that Byron Buxton is going to have a breakout year. I think he's going to be rookie of the year. Last year, we know, didn't go too well for him offensively. But I got to figure, based on his track record, that he's going to bounce back and have a good year. I don't know if he's going to be, you know, probably not their best hitter, obviously, but a guy, as long as he can kind of hit decently well, the way he, you know, fills his position in center field and the way that he, you know, runs the bases and all that, I think I see a breakout season from him, and I think that he's going to win the Rookie of the Year. And then really, Jose Berríos and Park are also two pretty strong candidates too. So the Twins certainly have three guys that are strong Rookie of the Year cases. And the other bold prediction, I'll just go out and say it, the Twins snag one of the two wild card spots. Last year, the Twins just missed out on that. The big question is just going to be, how much of last year, you look at some of the advanced stats, I know, showed that last year they were maybe a little bit lucky to be as good as they were in terms of the fact that you look at their overall raw stats, their, you know, team on base percentage, I think, was second to last in the majors. The big thing they did last year was they kind of clustered a lot of their runs together, a lot of big hits with runners in scoring position. And even Terry Ryan has admitted that that kind of thing can fluctuate from year to year in terms of, you know, runners in scoring position. But I think the Twins, adding Park, hoping for a breakout year from Buxton, can get a little bit more offense. Having a full year of Sano will make a big difference, a full year of Eddie Rosario. And then on the pitching side, having a full year, obviously, of Irvin Santana, I think Kyle Gibson's going to have a breakout year. Hughes should bounce back, too, as well. The back end of the rotation might be up in the air just because right now it's two veterans in Malone and Alaska, but that certainly could change. We could see Jose Barrios up here at some point, and you got to figure Duffy could be up relatively soon as well. So a lot of things have to go right for it to happen, which is kind of why, obviously, the Twins have not really been a trendy pick to make the postseason because there are so many ifs. But to me, they're not that far-fetched of ifs to happen, especially considering last year was a year the Twins weren't supposed to compete at all. And sure enough, they ended up, you know, just missing the postseason the second to last day of the season. So, and the AL in general is just so tough. It's hard to say what's going to happen. Really, within the division, you could pretty much make a case for any of the teams to finish first, even. So it'll be kind of curious to see how it all plays out. But my bold prediction will be that the Twins snag that second wild card spot.
All right, Brett, you're on the record now. We're going to hold you to that. It's tough. A lot of people don't seem to know how to categorize the Twins because they didn't just cluster their success with runners in score position. They also clustered a lot of wins, whether they win 20 games in May or something, and we're an average to below average team around that. But to your point, Brett, a lot of intrigue here because, this is a club that's going to get a lot of contributions from some young guys and young guys you feel good about. And we know just the way young talent is dictating a lot of things in the major league level these days. So I could see a big year for Buxton and for Park and for Berrios and for those young relievers we've talked about so much. Twins are certainly a flexible, interesting team. So we'll see how 2016 goes for them. For now, we're signing off here. I want to thank you for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins Edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.